Hi, this is Fabi Fab.
And this is Babelito.
And we are
Latinos Who Lunch,
the podcast where we talk about important things like
stickers.
Hey! Hello, hello, hello.
Kasho, kasho, kasho.
How are you, Babelito?
It's been a long time.
Oh my gosh, we're in the same room.
You
know, people are probably so confused because they listen to the podcast and we're always together. But what they don't know is that we record a lot of our interviews ahead of time.
Yes.
Because we like to interview people together. And right now we are in beautiful, sunny, warm.
Very warm.
Los Angeles, California.
California.
With some special guests.
So here in the house, we have the creators, the masterminds behind your favorite stickers, blanktag.co, Alondra Carvajal and Remy Silva. Bienvenidos al parca.
Hey!
Gracias.
Support brown businesses, baby.
That's right. How are you guys doing?
We're doing good. Thank you.
How is the summer treating you guys?
It's hot.
It is
yes,
hot.
But other than that,
you know, we are from Vegas, so for us this is not hot. However, in Vegas we're so afraid of the heat that there's crazy air conditioning everywhere you go. So you actually have to carry a sweater in Vegas because that's how sustainable we are.
No, we just got an air conditioner and it was too late for the heat wave, so we had to endure it for a while. Yeah.
So
and now we're good. Now we're ready for the heat.
That's awesome. So let's talk a little bit about our food, because our food was bomb.
Yes.
Should we talk about the restaurant?
Did we say their name?
Yeah, whatever.
Sure, whatever.
Okay, so we are right now in K-Town, Koreatown, for you ignorant people, here in L.A. And first of all, can I just say I love Koreatown? It is one of my favorite places, not only because of the Korean food, but there's a lot of fusion restaurants, and that's where we went today.
Yeah, we had... What was the name of the place?
It was Escala, and it's a Korean-Colombian fusion place.
What? See, only in LA you're going to get a mix like that.
Both, yeah.
So what do you order?
I ordered the fried rice.
Kimchi fried rice.
Kimchi fried rice with chicken and this Korean hot sauce.
So it was kimchi arroz con pollo.
Yes, so kimchi arroz con pollo with a huevo on it. So it was delicious.
That, I couldn't finish it, but it was
I know, me neither.
Good. ¿Y tú qué pediste? What you order?
Bandejas? Is that what it's called?
A bandeja.
Bandeja.
Not, no, it's not what you thought you heard, everybody. Calm down.
Not pendeja. That's Babelito.
I ordered one of those. I didn't get one.
What did you get? What did you eat? It looks so good.
I also got arroz con pollo kimchi. It was so good.
I thought y'all were eating chilaquiles the whole time.
It looked like
because
chilaquiles.
Of the egg.
Yeah, I had an egg on top. I had a kimchi fried rice empanada, which was really good.
Oh, yeah.
And then like a quinoa salad with like jalapeno and stuff all over it.
Well, yeah, your jalapeno was like grilled.
Oh,
no?
It was
it's
so
toreado,
bomb.
No?
Toreado, yeah.
Yes. The only difference between a chile quemado and a chile toreado is that after they burn the chile for toreados, they put it in salsa soya.
What? Ooh. Say that again. Okay, so there's toreado.
Yes.
Which is where they put hot soy sauce on it?
Yes, that's a chile toreado.
Oh.
So you burn it, you burn the skin,
yeah.
And then it gets a little saggy, and then you put it in a bath of soy sauce. Ooh. And then it sucks all the soy sauce. That shit's good. That's a chile toreado.
Oh, and then
so
the
you
one?
Got the first step. So it's just like un chile tatemado, I guess. Just like
you
just
didn't
like
get the
burned.
Soy sauce.
Just to get the saggy body of it, but then the skin a little burned.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm like really turned on right now. So I don't know. Okay. Sorry. Like saggy skin. Okay. Yeah. But it was a really great meal.
It was pretty good. I mean, I remember before we used to come here all the time. I came here a couple of times and I went to a show right here. I went to go see one of my favorite bands. And I remember just come here, Koreatown, eat food, go to the show, drive back to Vegas.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is the best.
Has a lot of restaurants, a lot of Korean barbecue, and then a lot of just random food that you wouldn't get anywhere else.
So where do you? So you are from El Salvador, right?
My parents are from El Salvador, and I am from South LA, South Central, what's used to known
by. And you?
I'm half Korean and half Mexican.
Okay, yeah. So it's like Las Naciones Unidas put together right here, which reflects in the company, because you guys have amazing product, and everybody tells me when I open my computer, they always want to know more about it. So why don't you tell us a little bit about the beginnings of Blank Tag?
What we did. So we used to be in a long distance relationship, so we would actually travel to see each other. One of the trips that we took, we went to Tokyo. Mm-hmm. So we were in Tokyo in a kind of a stationery store. It's called Tokyo Hands. And when we were in that store, we found some cool looking stickers. They were different. It was a little heavier naked Asian man is what the sticker. I mean, it's really hard to picture, but it was a funny sticker, and it was very it caught your eye, you know.
We saw it, and it's awesome.
So cool. We might post it just so that everybody knows. Yes. But yeah. So we saw that sticker. Remy actually bought it for his sister. So then we kept walking. One of the places we visit was Harajuku. So when we were in Harajuku, we saw the flagship store for the company that made these stickers. Mm-hmm. And the company's name is B-Side Label. So we walked in there, and it was literally probably a 10 by 20 space, floor to ceiling with stickers. It was packed. There was a lot of people in there. And the employees were super friendly. So we walked in. We automatically got this little basket. And it was stickers that were made to kind of represent Japanese culture. So I think that's what we liked about it. We were able to take something with us that kind of was a symbol of our trip. So we came back here, and Remy had this bright idea of he wants to start a sticker company. So we came back. It was probably 3 months later, 2 or 3 months later, that he was like, I'm going to start my own sticker company. And I thought he was crazy. And I was like, well, I've always been very anti-risk, and business is just like super risky. So I was like, okay, you do you. You know, you start your sticker company. I don't think it's going to work, but you give it a shot. So he started, and he started making...
Tener una esposa así.
Damn.
Ser una novia así.
No, super. Lo apoyo en todo. So we were... If you scroll to the bottom of our Instagram, you can see that he started with pop art stickers and then zombie stickers. Our zombie name was Ed. Ed the Zombie. That's what we started with, or that's what he started with. So he was marketing that, and was no pegada, you know? It wasn't selling. He wasn't making any money. So that's when I got involved, and I was like, look, let's try something. Let's try something different that represents Latino culture. So I grew up in LA, so I obviously know more culture, more Latino culture than he was exposed to growing up. Mm-hmm. So we started with our three, still their best-selling stickers, which were the concha, the tacos, and the elote. So after we released those, I mean, at some point I was giving them away for free to my friends just for them to market it. But after that, it kind of got to where it's at now. So we found our niche. We found what we wanted to be focused on. And just like B-Side Label focused heavily on Japanese culture, we started focusing heavily on Latino culture, which kind of represents me. And ever since then, now we're going more into Asian culture, mm-hmm. since that represents Remy a lot more. So we're trying to make something that people can look at and identify with, and be proud to show off and say, yeah, this is totally me. Mm-hmm. And I think that's kind of what we're trying to do.
And I think it's working. But I want to know did you just got an aha moment when you went inside that store? Or was it later when you're flying back that you're like, okay, this is what I want to do?
Well, just take a step back. I actually had another online business before this. Mm-hmm. So her face is changing, but
that was another one before.
Yeah, so it was actually an online subscription business. Mm-hmm. So we basically sent meal prep recipe kits to people, and they just cooked on their own. Mm-hmm. And from there, I was like, all right, there's a lot of opportunity online because you can just scale almost infinitely in time and space. Mm-hmm. So you don't have to be tied to like any location. And it did fine, but I was like, I want to do something different. We're helping people cook, but I want to help people actually get closer with their culture. Yeah. So for me, I'm half Korean, Mexican. I feel more Korean, but I want to get in touch with the other side too. Mm-hmm. So what better way to do it than through stickers, right? Yes. So when we went to Japan, when I saw that sticker of that really weird looking sticker. Honestly, it's really weird. I don't know how we're gonna post it online. We're not gonna post it on our Instagram page, but we'll show
maybe
it somewhere.
Maybe we'll put it in our story.
Yeah. So that sticker was really interesting. I was like, why would people buy this? It doesn't connect to anybody. Mm-hmm. It's just really strange.
I would have bought that.
I bought it.
I love it. I loved it. Me too. I was like, maybe you should recreate it. No.
I totally would. Yeah. She said no. Like, I said,
crazy.
Let's do it.
You're crazy.
Yeah. So we're walking down Harajuku. We walked into the store, and my mind was like kind of like blown out because like there's basically been two stores ever that actually went, this actually changed my life and how I perceive business. Mm-hmm. Business isn't like you just sell something to somebody. You want to help them. You want to help them fulfill some need.
Yeah.
Right. That's how you really grow a business. So when I went there, and they immediately it struck a chord with me because these people, their customer service was amazing. Mm-hmm. As soon as we walked in, we don't even speak Japanese. They don't speak English. They handed us a little basket, and they just showed us how to like put a sticker in, and something that was like more relevant to us. This like the stickers that were like a little more relevant, like animals, not something super Japanese.
Yeah.
And so it was just absolutely amazing. That's why I feel like go to our pop-up events, we have a little basket for people to put their stickers in.
Shout out to Molcajete Dominguero, yes. Which I've seen you guys there three times, I think now. Yeah. Twice or three times.
It's really good. It's a cool event for people to go out to if anyone's interested.
Yeah. Yes. Shout out Luis Coma.
So the big aha moment was though, when we left the store, and we were in Harajuku, and it was like a really popular street where almost all tourists go to.
Uh-huh.
That real estate has to be really expensive. And in order to sustain that, you need to sell a lot of stickers, or your product has to be really good, or your average order value has to be just incredibly high. Mm-hmm. So I thought, all right, they're doing something really good. Now, how can we try something that relates to us in the US and something that's like, I can grow online, kind of like the last business. So it's online, it's scalable, and it relates with culture.
Yes.
So I thought stickers were actually perfect for this. And at the same time, when we were like on the bus going back to the airport from Korea, I was listening to another podcast, and they were talking about this guy that was selling stickers to like middle school or something, and he was doing great. I was like, there's something with stickers. How come there's nothing in the US that I immediately think of stickers and this company?
Yeah.
Right? You think of soda, Coca-Cola, things like that. There are some words that are synonymous.
Because you think of stickers and everybody do their own. Like
exactly.
Not like you guys were the first company that I can think about that you can have a selection, because everybody that is doing something is coming out with their own stickers.
Yeah, that's exactly it. We couldn't find any company. As soon as you thought of stickers, you thought of that company. So that's how we wanted to brand ourselves immediately. But the other important things was it has to be scalable. It has to be like culture driven, mm-hmm. but we want to be like the best in terms of sticker. So another little thing is on the flight to Japan, I read a book. It's called Delivering Happiness. Mm-hmm. So it's by Tony Hsieh, the founder of Zappos.
Oh yeah, we're familiar.
We are.
Oh, yeah.
We're Zappos Vegas.
Right. Shout out to Gentrifiers. Yeah.
All right. So the main thing I got out of that book was they're not a shoe company. They're a happiness company that mm-hmm. just happens to sell shoes. So mm-hmm. we thought the same thing. All right, let's be a happiness company. We deliver customer happiness, and we just happen to sell stickers at the same time. So that was our model, and still our model, actually, to this day. And it's probably going to be for maybe forever.
Forever.
Yeah.
And you guys are together.
We are together,
You're a couple. How long have you guys been together?
We have been together 4.5 months. Four and a half years. Oops.
I was like, this whole company happened way too fast.
Sorry, babe.
You had a long distance relationship. You went to Japan, and now you're selling
and
stickers.
And 4.5 months.
Everything in 4 months.
Keep that in there. I want her to hear that mistake.
I'm definitely not editing that out.
Yeah, it's 4 years and a half is what we've actually been together.
So I want to get a little background on both of you. So yes. I know that you were born here on the West Coast in South LA.
Yes.
And then you kind of traveled all over because your family is a military family, right?
Yeah, I was born in Korea.
You were born in Korea. Okay. Yeah. But you also said you were raised, a lot of your time was spent in Maryland on the East Coast and stuff.
Yeah. So when people ask where I'm from, I just say Maryland because I don't want to tell my whole life story.
Yeah.
But basically.
But we're on a podcast, girl. Go ahead.
We have time. But yeah, I was born in Korea, and then my parents, my dad's military, so we moved around a lot.
Yeah.
So from Korea to Alabama, that's a natural transition, of course. And then you go, and we went back to Korea, and then I think Japan, Florida, Germany, and then Maryland. And then I moved to Nashville, and now LA.
You forgot Oklahoma.
Oh, yeah. I live in Oklahoma sometimes.
How can you forget Oklahoma?
I didn't want to remember it.
Oh, was it bad?
And Alondra, have you always lived in LA?
I have always lived in LA, yes. Okay. I didn't move away for college because it was too scared. And I just can't imagine being far away from family. So Remy had to move to LA so that we can make this work.
And how did you two meet?
In a real story?
Yeah.
We met online, and there was a point where I was not confident and comfortable in sharing that I met online.
But it's so common now.
I know. Well, now it was, but like we met 4.5 years ago. So back then, I mean, you know, it's just... I was just not comfortable saying we met online because it wasn't a thing yet.
Yeah.
But so we used to say we met at school since we were both I'm a USC alum and he was attending USC for a while. So that was the fake story that some people may know. But we actually met on
surprise everybody.
Surprise! It was online. So we met on OkCupid is the app. Yeah. So that's how the love story began.
You don't know the message I told or sent you?
No.
Ooh. Okay. What was it?
Well, I'm in a Latina sorority, and there are a couple Latina sororities out there. So he confused me for belonging to a different Latina sorority that I don't actually belong in.
How dare you,
exactly.
Remy?
Exactly.
I thought you were going to say he confused you for another woman from another.
We would not be this far. So that's how that started, and I was like so upset that I had to respond to the message, and that's kind of
That's funny.
So I mean, it worked out in the long run, but at that point, I was like, "Oh my god, how dare you!"
Nice tactic.
Yeah, it worked.
She remembers you.
Okay, so now I know professionally you have different experience, and it's interesting to see both of you working together.
Yes,
because you seem like you're very grounded here in LA, and I know that your professional work is very administrative and. Can I say what you do? Is that okay?
Yeah, of course.
You work HR at a big company.
Yeah.
And then you traveled all around the world. Home to you can be anywhere, right?
Yeah.
And then you're also into marketing and taking risks. And so having you two work together is kind of like the perfect team because you guys kind of push each other and check each other, which is really awesome. So can you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I am very process oriented. You need to follow the process. You can't stray away. We can't take risks. We have to be very careful before making decisions. And Remy is...
Well, my job is digital marketing. So I always help clients. Like, how do you find new ways to grow and new revenue streams? But for me, my model really is more like, let's break things. And if it breaks, let's fix it. Whatever. Let's keep going.
Because I want to test
like, no! And I'm just like, stop! What are you doing? Yeah, so we balance each other out. I mean, sometimes he does things and I'm just like, oh, what are we doing? And then sometimes I'm like, no, we shouldn't do that. And he says, we need to, and he tries it and it works. So, you know, it's a lot of checking each other and making sure we try to stay on the same page. We have different perspectives for stuff, which helps. But, you know, it's working so far, but you never know. I think we just have such different personalities that somehow we manage to work together.
Yeah, we just have different strengths, so we kind of like split out what we do in the business now. Now that it's getting a little bigger, we have to divide in terms of what we focus on. So she's way better at events because of what she used to do.
Yes.
You know, I've noticed it a lot here in LA. I don't know if it's just here or other places, but it seems like more and more couples are jumping on actually doing something together because in the past it seemed like that was a big no-no.
Yes.
Like, you don't go into business with your boyfriend or your girlfriend or your husband or wife. But I don't know. It seems like the rules of dating and the rules of how relationships work, of course, have changed a lot. So that allows room for something like this.
Yeah.
How do you guys balance that, the relationship and then a business relationship?
Ooh.
Well, for me, I knew early on that if we did something together, like a business, it would work because we had this weird game we played on accident. So she came to my apartment one day and we had the same color iPhone. It was white, silver white background.
Yeah.
And then one day when she left, she took my phone. I had her phone. So it was a game of like chicken. Who's going to open it first and read all the messages? And we did. We both did it.
Wow.
We both read each other's messages. Yeah. And from there, I was like, if we don't break up after this, I don't know what else could break us up.
Yeah.
So now going to the business, I always think about back then how that didn't break us up. So this business won't do that at all.
But I feel it has a lot to do with communication. Because of because I'm so risk averse, I like knowing exactly where we stand on the business side, because that's going to make sure I know how to manage the relationship side. So, you know, we talk about stuff like prenups. We talk about how much each person owns. So those are conversations that you have to have.
Because, and they're uncomfortable.
Yeah, and they're very uncomfortable, you know, but at least we know going into it, this is what I'm bringing to the table, and then this is what you're bringing to the table. And in case this doesn't work out, obviously that's never what we planned, but if it doesn't work out, we know where we're at and we know how that affects the other one. So yeah. I think having that open line of communication and being able to have those hard conversations is what keeps us good on the business side, but also it doesn't let it interfere with where we are in terms of our relationship.
Yeah. And also on the financial side, we have to be more transparent with each other.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I can't just take huge risks and her just finding out, hey, where all the money go?
Where's the money?
Like, yeah. Wait a minute.
Yeah. I didn't spend that.
When it comes to big time risks, I always ask for her input. When it's like smaller risks that it's not gonna really affect the business, I just do it.
He asked for forgiveness later. Yeah.
So looking at your website, blanktag.co, I really love the designs of the work. I mean, and also the variety, right? So you have a lot of Latino symbols, you know, the usual, la conchas. Mm-hmm. Everybody loves conchas. piñatas, tacos. But then there's a lot of, I saw a lot of like Asian dishes, noodles, different things like that, which is really cool.
Your favorite takoyaki.
Yes, bitch. And so I wanna know, like, how was that style inspired? Because it's very graphic and very saturated in color, and I love the way that everything's outlined.
Yeah, that's a great question. So,
thank you.
Dan, you got me. You know, so when I'm at work with clients, I always have to say that.
That's what he says.
Yeah, I have to.
Thank you. You make me feel good. Thanks. Yeah. Start crying.
So yeah, back in college, I took an art history class.
Oh, cool.
The hardest class I've ever taken in my life. Not even kidding.
It's so boring,
right? And
thank
you for that. We just had this conversation. Wow. Everybody thinks taking an art history class is like,
oh, no, girl.
Fucking matata. No. Everybody holds hands. It's about pretty things.
No. It's no joke. I went to law school, too. And even including law school, art history was the hardest class I've ever taken.
Yeah.
I've been telling Alondra's day one.
And I want to know your teacher. I want to congratulate her or him.
I'll forward you her link, her profile,
her LinkedIn,
Yeah. Connect with her. It was really tough. Made me really appreciate art and everything that goes into it. So it's not, you're not just looking at the art itself, but everything that influenced it as well.
Yeah.
And also you have to think about what it's going to influence in the future. And so that's why I think about business as well. It's like you look at companies that are successful. You're looking at them right now, but everything that happened before, you don't see all that hard work. And so that made me really appreciate art itself. And in that class, we got into like a lot of different periods. But the period, I think the very end of class, we talked about pop art quickly.
Yeah.
And pop art really influenced me, especially with Roy Lichtenstein. I think that's his name. But
yeah,
he has a couple pieces. I'm just like, man, this is amazing. It influenced a lot. You see a lot of his influences now in like graffiti and comic books, things like that. And so the way the colors really pop out, and there's like, I don't know the exact terms, but like there's white outlines and a lot of the colors really pop out in certain ways. So the reason why our stickers are all die cut, having the white outline, is because I want to give it like a pop art kind of feel.
Yeah.
So that's why if you scroll to the very bottom of our Instagram page, you will see pop art, because that's our very origins. It's just, who wants to buy? Well, I guess it didn't work at first. I thought people wanted to buy it.
The inside story behind Black Tie.
Dun dun.
Yeah, you'll see zombies and pop art stuff.
Babelito, awesome. Since you are an art historian, could you put pop art into a historical context? Because I know that there's a very specific time in art history where pop art really blew up.
Yes. So pop art is roughly a movement from the 50s and 60s, post-World War II. And it is an age of mechanical reproduction, right? So that a lot of things are happening, especially with images. So images are appearing and reappearing everywhere. It's not just the movies anymore. You can actually have them on your TV, and there's ads that are popping everywhere. One of the ideas behind pop art, based on what Andy Warhol did, is to take some of those everyday images and, in a way, in his language, elevate them to the realm of quote-unquote fine art. So that's when you start seeing the Coca-Cola, the reproductions of the Coca-Cola ads, the reproductions or reappropriations of the Campbell's soup. But if you want to get something good, and I'll give you some readings, Latin American pop art takes that and destroys it. And it's all about political shit. So, like, if you see the Brazilians, the Chileans, the Central Americans, the Mexicans looking, working into pop art, they take what Liechtenstein and Andy Warhol and others did, but they just make it about political oppression from the U.S. to Latin America. What? So there's, like, this obscure, really badass side of pop art that a lot of people don't look into.
Yeah, and I was talking a little bit with Alondra about art and how sometimes when you go to an art museum, it's not very accessible, and it's kind of like, I don't get this. Yeah. And I feel like pop art from the 60s, 50s, 60s is kind of a response to what happened right before it. Mm-hmm. So in the 1950s, you had the abstract expressionist movement, which is a bunch of white dudes just like shitting making on lines. Canvases. No, I'm just kidding. making lines, just making abstract paintings. So you had like Rothko, Jackson Pollock, and a bunch of other alcoholics. Cooney. Yeah. And so pop art, I think, was... I like pop art not just because it's recognizable, but it's also a political... Approachable. It's approachable. It's... Even if you don't know that there's a political statement behind pop art, you understand the symbols, and you understand that it's about commodification and repetition, and they're just beautiful, beautiful, bright, recognizable images. So I think that really translates really well with your stickers, yes. Because I just went... We're right here at blanktag.co headquarters. And
I was, AKA Remy's room.
I was looking through all the stickers and my mouth literally watered because the colors are so rich. And I definitely see that Liechtenstein influence. And if you don't know who Liechtenstein is, he's white, so don't worry about it. No, I'm just kidding.
I was going to say Google it local. Google
it local. He did a lot of work like taking just like really cropping down comic strips. Mm-hmm. And then, like, changing the words in the bubbles. So they're just, like, really big pieces from, like, these really beautiful, like, Art Nouveau-looking comics.
Yeah.
And then he just saturated them with color.
Bitch, every time I see my elote in my computer,
yeah,
I want to eat it.
No digas nada.
I didn't say anything.
But you know, one of the things that you were saying in the beginning, it's finding your audience,
yes.
And really working with like Asian and Latin American cultures.
Yeah.
And it translates. It works because just going through the website, I get excited. I get excited because there's a lot of things. Because again, we talked about this many times in the podcast, but we're tired of us boxing us into 3-4 icons. Mm-hmm. And with things like this, like things of what you guys do, we realize that there's so many sources and ideas and contexts that we can find inspiration from.
Yeah.
Your eyebrows are so good. I'm just noticing right now.
I actually get them done. It's a secret. Don't tell anybody.
They're good. They're good. But anyway.
Pop art.
Inspired by pop art. To my eyebrows.
Damn, you're right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just got distracted.
You got really just... Pay attention, you fucking high ass. No, I'm just kidding. So... What was I going to ask you guys? I'm going to edit all this shit out, by the way.
It's okay.
So,
you can leave the eyebrow part.
Okay. Yeah, no, I'll leave that in.
That'll stay in.
Yeah,
I was just thinking you were... I'm like, hey...
Where were you going with the question?
With the question about the eyebrows or the question
before?
About boxing us. About how you are, in a way, breaking that mold.
Oh, I think... Well, I kind of have something to say on that.
Yeah.
But I think it's... at least in my case... It's very important. My parents are Salvadoran. Mm-hmm. So going through and figuring out what images we're making, I grew up in a place where there wasn't really a home for Salvadorans. We mm-hmm. were boxed into Mexicans, and that was kind of what was expected that you were to the public who didn't understand Latin American countries. So growing up, you know, that's kind of what we were boxed into. And it's not, obviously it's a completely different culture and it's beautiful, but it's not my culture specifically.
Yeah.
So it was very important for me to acknowledge the existence of different cultures that people don't think about as much. So we had to make pupusas, we had to make platano fritos, we had to make the first sticker that we made in terms of words was salvadoreña. And that was very important to me to acknowledge that there's a lot of different cultures that people just aren't kind of exposed to. And And I think we're taking that right now to the next level because we keep getting, we read all the DMs, obviously us, and there's a lot of people who are just like, oh my God, thank you for acknowledging that, you know, making a Nicaragüense sticker, making a Guatemalteca sticker. I mean, there's all of these other countries that just in, at least in the LA market, aren't represented. And just to have something that you're just like, you can look at and you can say, that's me, that's who I am. Yeah. And being able to showcase that in a certain way after for so long not having any sort of product that was made tailored for you. I think that's a huge deal in terms of what we're trying to do because, you know, we rely on our audience a lot. So when we get the DM saying, can you make alfajores? That was one where I didn't know what an alfajor was.
I don't know what an alfajor
is. Yeah, it's a South American dessert.
I know it because Lionel Messi is my favorite soccer player. That's all he eats, supposedly. He loves it.
Yeah, so we got a sticker. It's a pastry. Tiene dulce de leche, I think. And it has sugar, powdered sugar on top. And it's kind of like a cookie from what I kind of understand.
It's like two cookies and dulce de leche.
And dulce de leche in the middle. Damn. Yeah.
What country is it from?
Argentina.
Argentina. Oh. Yeah, but I think it's a lot in South America is where they have it. So we got a request when we went to We All Grow. So I was at We All Grow, and one of the ladies, one of the influencers there, was just like, oh my God, you need to make an alfajor sticker. And I was like, I don't know what an alfajor sticker is, but just.
Like down.
Yeah. I'm just like, let's do it. Let's try it. So just we rely on our customers a lot. Yeah. To kind of guide what we make next because we know our own cultures, but being able to go out and actually connect with people who have different cultures, it's hard when we don't have an inside person. So customers are a huge help telling us what they want to see, and that way we can actually create images that will reach out to a wider audience.
Okay, so with that in mind, what is the coolest request you've gotten that it's translated into a very successful sticker? And what is the weirdest one where you're like,
The weirdest one is easy. I don't remember. You do remember? Exactly.
I don't want to call out the person though.
No, but don't.
Say the design.
Like, well, that person will.
Oh, because they'll know.
Yeah, they'll know. It's okay. I think it's okay.
Go for it.
Right.
Wrong. It was just trying to translate what they asked for into a sticker. Was the hard part.
It was, some of them are so specific to a person that you can't make it. Because it doesn't, no one else really relates to it. For me, it was the one where the person requested a person sitting looking towards the beach with their back on a coconut tree in the sand.
In the sunset. Looking at the sunset.
Wow. It's not weird. It's just so specific.
It is very specific.
Yeah, and you have die cut stickers. So making an entire image that isn't a single object is really difficult because it goes against our image and our brand. So I think that was
and also
that
on that hard. Yeah, on that note, if you look at our stickers, we always focus on one thing. We always get requests like mix two different ideas together. One we got was like stethoscope, what doctors use. That, but the core is in the shape of a heart or something like that. That's combining two different ideas, like a heart and a stethoscope.
Yeah.
We would do one or the other. That's why if you look at all our stickers, they're just one single idea. I think that's one of our main features.
But I think the biggest thing that we've had to push for that I personally didn't want to go to, and Remy vetoed my decision pretty much, was flags. So people really want flags.
They do.
They want flag stickers. And I just the idea of messing with a flag is really tough for me to swallow because it has to be done correctly. Mm-hmm, everything on a flag has a meaning. And if you mess with one thing, it will throw the entire meaning of like the escudo in the middle of it completely off.
Not only that, in some countries doing that, it's a national offense.
Yeah.
So, for example, here, se ponen la bandera hasta en los calzones.
Yeah.
But in Mexico, you can't do that.
Exactly.
So, in fact, I've seen in social media where, like, people have la bandera mexicana en los fucking calzones. And people in Mexico get offended. They're like, this is illegal in Mexico. Like, you cannot do that over here.
So, there's just all of this, I don't know. I was just very... I was not for the idea. I didn't want to do it. I didn't want to mess with flags. I was like, that's just not what I feel we should be.
And that's going to make you, and that's what's going to make you rich.
Exactly. So then all the customers we get a lot of DMs saying, can you make a flag? Especially because we started making the Mexicana, Salvadoreña, all of those people want flags. So the DMs started rolling in. Remy was all for it. And, you know, after a certain point, I kind of caved because it's what people want to see and it's mm-hmm. what people want to put on their laptops and on their phones. So we will update you on whether or not that was a success in a later time, because that is something that we're going to start doing eventually. But I feel like that's probably one of it. I'm pretty sure it's going to sell because we've had so many requests for it. But we just... I was not for it at some point.
But yeah, this brings up the point again of communication, how we work in business together. So, yeah, there's a lot of DMs and requests, things like that. But she was all against it. And so I really had to listen. Why are you against it?
Yeah.
And so after addressing every single issue of why, I mean, we came to a point where the flag looks really good. I had to go back and forth with her on the El Salvador flag. We did like three or four versions, and she didn't accept till the very last one. This was basically the flag. There's like... We just, it's
there's
exactly,
no artistic liberty.
You're gonna represent. Yeah. You better represent.
Yeah. There is no creativity involved in it. It's just the flag. That's basically what business comes down to when you work with a partner. That's your girlfriend or boyfriend.
Yeah.
Tons of communication. You're gonna have tons of disagreements. But when it comes to major things like this, this flag is actually a big deal for us. But we had to like really talk through this and figure out. I had to figure out to the core why this is such a big like issue. Where are the pain points, and how can I address them each one individually?
Do you guys rest, like, because it's all business and balancing? Is there a place, either mind space or actual place, that you can go and like no sticker conversation at all, let's just do our thing?
Right now it's taking over your lives, huh?
Not right now. Yeah. No, I mean, everywhere we go, we're talking about it. You can see there's a dead look in our
blink.
Eyes.
Blink twice.
Blink twice. Damn, if I need out. No, I mean, I feel like my safe place is his apartment. You know, I live with my parents. I live with my grandparents. Mm. I mean, there's a lot of people. So my safe place is here because it's just him. But when I'm here, I sleep a lot. So I can't complain about like 24/7 sticker business because I sleep. And, you know, Remy handles it for the most part when I'm here. So I have an out. My out is pretty much here. I don't think sleep. Remy has an out.
You're out of sleep.
I'm sleeping. I'm sleeping most of the time.
No, I have no out. I'm tired to this. But the thing is...
But it's something you like.
But well, yeah, everyone has a hobby, right? So you go home and you do something. To me, this is a hobby too. Mm-hmm. It's not just a business. So I feel no burnout. Like, I love every bit of it. The only times I feel kind of a burnout is like when we do events. I have to haul things every morning, like 6 in the morning.
Yeah.
That's the point where I start thinking like bigger picture. Like, what do we do? Do we hire someone to do this? But everything else, the online stuff, I do it as my day job. So I love everything about it. So even like coding the site, or even like figuring out potential operations issues.
Mm-hmm.
So like a big one was shipping and tracking. Like, because we got a lot of emails. Yeah, like, hey, where's my sticker? What's taking so long? It really wasn't us. Like, as soon as we get an order, we ship it out.
But you ship here from home?
We ship from home.
Yeah.
It's a secret. Don't tell anyone.
From no, a lot of people do that.
Yeah, yeah.
From your headquarters?
That's right. HQ. Blank Tag HQ. But yeah, those kind of operational issues. I love figuring out those issues because it also applies to my day job. Mm-hmm. When my clients at work, they have some like, say, e-commerce issues, or like, how would they even think through like this kind of operational problem? I reference back to what I do in my sticker business. And my boss actually knows this, and he loves it. He loves that fact that I can bounce back and forth, like trade ideas between my job and my sticker business. So to me, it works out all around really well. I don't know if it applies to HR, though.
Not at all. Not until we start hiring some employees.
So what would it be a good advice for those couples working together? Advice that we can give other people? Because again, I don't know if I'm just noticing now, but I notice more and more couples actually doing things together.
I would say, if you're feeling uneasy about something, be honest about it and open. Because when we're doing events and it just feels like we're getting burned out, I tell her, I'm like, hey, I feel a little burned out. This is taking a toll on me. And she doesn't tell me because, you know, she's very, not very nice about it. So she doesn't want to tell me she's feeling burned out. Mm-hmm. But I have to like talk to her about, hey, are you feeling the same way?
Yeah.
If not, it's going to blow up sometime in the future. Yeah. And it's better to handle it up front.
I think it's just important to understand what each person brings to the table, and being able to know, look, this is your strength, and you know, you handle this, and this is my strength, and I handle this. So like the events, he wanted to do this big event that happens in SoCal, these night markets. So we spent a lot of money doing these night markets, or at least booking the place for these night markets. And I kept saying, no, this, we shouldn't do that. It's a lot of money. I don't think it's going to work. And he decided to do it anyway, you know? So we tried one weekend and it didn't work out. So now we're canceling the rest of them that we had booked and we're losing money. So I think the fact that now he understands, hey, you've done this. The events are your thing. And I'm going to stick to the marketing side. I think that says a lot about just trusting each other and being able to say, whatever you decide, I'm good with it because that's your strength. And whatever I decide, you know, we both agree on because I have a little more idea of what I'm doing. So just knowing what you guys are good at and being able to trust the other person to handle what you're not good at is a huge deal.
Yeah, that's a really great advice.
Yeah.
So if you're saying to me no right now, but I recognize it's your strength, then I need to listen to you, even though I don't want to.
Exactly. Yeah. Even though it's not, you know, even though you're resistant on it right now, just trust me. Trust that I know what I'm talking about and trust that it's going to be okay and that I have the benefit of the business and kind of our relationship in mind when I'm making that.
Yeah. All right. So now I want to take a different route.
Okay.
And go back to food. Let's talk about food.
Yes.
So we just had Korean-Colombian fusion. What are your other favorite, like, fusions out there?
Fusions?
Oh. Or food. I mean, just in general, just your favorite food. I'm curious, too,
because it's like Korean, Salvadorian, Mexican. When you guys come together, what do you eat?
Tough question.
Well,
we're foodies, first off. If you see our stickers, it's all about food.
Yes.
When we travel, all of our bills are basically food.
Yes.
That's really it. But in general, I'd say our tops are ramen's one of them. Like
it's Japanese all Asian stuff. Food.
Where's a good ramen place in town?
Daikokuya in Little Tokyo.
I'll write it down.
Oh, is that the cash only place? The cash only place, though. So you need to take your cash. Laying their cash. But it's like amazing.
Aren't you from Mexico, girl?
And I have problems in Mexico too.
No, I discovered when we started dating curry, Japanese curry.
Oh
yeah. Oh my god. Yes. Yeah, I'm not a huge fan of it. There's a better place in Little Tokyo too.
Little Tokyo.
It's a Kuretama curry place. Jesus. It's really good. So we have that. Then there's katsu. What's the katsu, the Korean katsu that we have?
So it's deep fried pork. It's
Yeah.
Then there's one right here.
What with is a it cabbage called? Salad.
I don't know what it's called, but.
¿Cómo se llama donde va Luis?
Dough or something?
I have no idea. We just know it's delicious. I think it's called brown. I think brown tonkatsu or something.
It's new. It just opened a month or two ago. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's a lot of Asian food. I didn't need a lot of. I didn't go outside of my comfort food before, but ever since we started dating, I mean, he is everything. So I've kind of learned to adjust and, you know, get exposed to more stuff. And I like spicy food. So Korean food is super spicy and it's amazing. So I think we gear a lot towards Asian food.
Yeah.
In terms of when we're together, at least.
Yeah. So I want to talk about Asian restaurants just a little bit.
Yes.
Because I like to eat out a lot in Las Vegas, and there's a lot of really good Asian restaurants in Vegas. And I can tell right away when I walk into a restaurant what kind of food it's going to be, or like the quality of the food it's going to be, right? If I walk in and it's mostly Mexicans or brown people and Asians, it's going to be like a step above.
It's going to have flavor.
It's going to have flavor. But sometimes they trick you and it's just like a step above Panda Express, you know, because we love, you know, Latinos love.
She loves it.
I cried for Panda Express.
Latinos love Panda Express. Oh my gosh. I'm just going to say
This Latino, man.
No, I love Panda Express. We were in Vegas. I was drunk. I started crying. because I couldn't find Panda Express.
We found it was just closed.
And I was upset. I was like, the Yelp says it's open. Why isn't my Panda Express open? I mean, we had a whole fiesta. So Panda Express, I totally get you because that is life. In terms of any sort of food.
Yeah. And then when you walk in and you feel like you walked into somebody's house, or like you're like, am I interrupting a family meeting? You know that shit is going to be bomb, right? Yes. It's like, that's like the different levels, right?
There's a lot of that in K-Town.
Yeah, right? Yeah. You're like, supposed to be in here?
Yeah.
No, go away.
You don't belong here.
That's the question. That's the answer.
When they give you weird looks and you feel unwelcome, that's the best food.
Yeah.
That's what I found.
Yeah, I love those places where you just like point at the pictures. You're like, I'm gonna have
this
that.
One.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I don't know how to pronounce it, but that's the one that I want. Yeah.
So what's the future of Blank Tag? Because some people may be thinking like, okay, it's stickers, but I feel like the possibilities are endless.
Yeah, yeah. This one's all you.
It's tough.
So it's your it's your role to plan and you to freak out.
And me
out.
To figure out how we're going to do it. Yes.
Yeah. That's good.
Yeah. So you know, set divisions.
Yeah.
So the future, it's... We get a lot of requests for new products. Mm-hmm. So we get requests for like pins, patches. Is there anything else?
We thought about sticky notes, but that's just between the two of us.
Yeah. We're thinking about accessories.
Oh.
Yeah. Like planners. What are they called?
Stationery.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, that kind of stationery.
You know? So now, since we own the images, the possibilities for us are really endless.
Oh, much easier.
Because we can stick the images on whatever it is that we want.
Cachucha. Mm-hmm.
So right now, we're focusing on obviously increasing our images because that's really where our value is. Since we own them, after that, we can print them on whatever we want. Mm, so... Yeah. For now, I think we're going to focus on just new stickers. Yeah. And then once we get comfortable with this, then we're probably... At that point, I have no idea.
On the product side, yeah, it's heavily stickers for probably another 6 months to a year.
Yeah.
We're going to be pumping out a ton of images. Like, I want about 500 to 1,000 in the next year. Mm. Just a lot of images. In terms of operations, I do want to open, like, a store or a kiosk in LA. But
to go back to, like... Full circle.
Yeah, full circle.
You signed.
Oh. I've been telling her since day one, though. I want to open a shop in Tokyo. That to me would be, I think I fulfilled Blank Tag's goal, which is open a store next to B-Side.
Why not?
Yeah, okay.
Why not?
Yeah, it's possible. I mean, there's a lot of Japanese subcultures that are like obsessed with Mexican culture.
Yeah.
Which, I find really interesting because usually it's us
vice versa,
appropriating their culture. So
there's pachucos in Tokyo.
There's like a whole lowrider culture. Yeah, it's pretty cool.
They dance salsa. When I got out there, I realized that there's salsa clubs in Tokyo. I mean,
I think they'd love your stickers over there. Yeah.
Yeah, thank you. I mean, what I know about Asia is American culture is super popular.
Yeah.
So if we bring our stickers over there, they're considered American stickers, not just Latino stickers.
Yeah.
So I think it'll work in that sense. Although I want to make our culture more known over there as well.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the plan.
Yeah.
You hear a story in Tokyo.
In my head, I'm like, oh my God, how are we going to do this? While he's telling you his dreams.
That's a good balance. Yeah. I have a question for you.
Sure.
If you had the choice of requesting a sticker, which one do you want to see?
Do you guys have a Quetzal already?
We don't.
I would love a Quetzal sticker. Yeah, okay. That's what I want. Yeah.
People.
We get that one pretty often.
Yeah.
Really?
A request for Quetzal. Yeah. How about you?
I want a Valero.
Wait, ¿qué es eso?
Valero, it's a toy. It's a Mexican toy. It's like a stick, and then it's like a little Valero, and then you just...
We got that request pretty often.
We call it different. We call it... Ay, ¿cómo se llama? In El Salvador, we call it... It's when it has a stick, right? And then you bounce it, and it has to fit in the hole.
Correct.
Yes. Oh, I can't think of it. But yes, I know exactly what you're talking about.
Salvadorans and like Central Americans have the best words. It's probably such a good word.
I think it's... I don't want to say the wrong word. Because I also know this is not...
Yeah.
This is not a good word. I think it's a pirinola.
No, la pirinola es como un dreidel.
Yeah.
Es como un top.
Yeah.
No, then I'm totally blanking, but I've played with them before. I just don't know what it's called.
How about you? What do you want?
What do I want?
Yeah.
You never told me what sticker you want to make.
I don't know. Well, we already made this. I get to choose what stickers we make.
Yeah.
So mine was, I really wanted the pupusas and the plátano fritos. Mm. And it took me forever to make him get me the plátano fritos. But that's really it. That's what I...
Do you have an ensalada one?
Like the drink?
Yeah.
No, we don't have that one.
Yeah. That one
might be good.
Ensalada with pupusas.
Yeah. Pastelitos.
Yuca frita.
Yuca frita. We just don't...
It's hard
trying,
to...
Trying to draw that, it'll be hard to make it look good. Like, yeah, yeah, without looking kind of like, eso que es, you know?
Con la salsa y los chicharrones.
Yeah. it can go wrong real bad.
Yeah.
One I want the most is kimchi. I just can't do it.
Kimchi will be good.
It's so hard because there's...
like hundreds of variations of kimchi, and it's never like the same thing when you get it.
Maybe if it's like in a bowl of rice with an egg, like with kimchi fried rice. I might read
kimchi fried rice. That's a good idea.
Yeah,
that one will work.
Awesome. Okay, well, it's time for a little break, and then when we come back, we will have some recommendations for everybody. Oh my God, Babalito.
Platícame, güey.
You know what I love?
¿Qué te gusta?
The original Lindo Michoacán on East Desert Inn in Las Vegas, Nevada.
But you know how hard it was for me to come here and record this episode instead of actually going directly into Lindo Michoacán?
You know what, Bish? The first thing I did when I got back to Las Vegas is Crystal and I got off of the plane from Portland, Maine, and we went straight to Lindo Michoacán.
¿Qué te gusta de ahí?
What did I get? Oh, I got tacos this last time. And then, oh, and you know that, you know, we always talk about the bowl of fideo. They give you like a little cup of fideo.
You ordered the whole thing.
I ordered a bowl and I was feeling a little under the weather when I came back, and I was like, that's really what I want. I want just like soup, you know?
To feel like home. Yes.
I just wanted some, you know, like when you're sick, you want to eat soup.
Yeah.
And dijo, I was like, oh, quiero una taza de fideo, or una, ¿cómo se dice? Like a bowl of fideo. And the guy's like, you want the big one? And I was like, give me the biggest bowl you have. And then they brought me this big ass bowl of fideo. But you know what, bitch? I finished it.
I was going to say you had fideo for the rest of the week.
No, bitch. I finished it on the spot. And you know what's awesome?
What's awesome?
Is I said, hey, guess what, Mimi? His name was Oscar. Guess what, Oscar? I was like, I am from Latinos Who Lunch.
Okay.
And I listened to Latinos Who Lunch, and he said, well, that's great. You get a discount.
Damn.
And
¿y cuánto te dieron?
He actually gave me 25%.
Damn.
I know. So go to Lindo Michoacán and say, hey, I am a Latinos Who Lunch listener, and they will give you 25% off. Isn't that amazing?
Y si te levantas el domingo crudo, get the menudo,
oh,
and you'll be set for
crudo
life.
Crudo menudo.
Lindo Michoacán, the original, save water, drink margaritas.
Live at the MGM Grand, Viernes, 14 September. Caifanes and Banda Sinaloense Mas de Sergio Lizarraga.
Qué cosas, man. Let me translate that
for
you.
How do you really say it? Yeah.
Banda Sinaloense de Sergio Lizarraga, also known as Banda MS or Banda Mas, is going to perform all of their hits together with the seminal rock en español band, one of my favorites, Caifanes.
What?
No manches, wait. This event is going to be lit.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, that's right. Viernes, Friday, September 14th, MGM Grand. Get your tickets today.
Damn. And you know, the best part is that it's happening around the festivities for Independence Day in September.
Mexican Independence Day.
But you know what? That celebrates a lot of Independence Day, because when the Mexicans se hicieron independientes de los españoles, that cover a big area, part of Central America. So
here we go. Another Mexican taking credit for everything.
All of our Latinx.
Central America exists.
All of our Latinx brothers and sisters come and celebrate the Independence Day de esos pinches españoles.
And you know what? You don't have to be Mexican to enjoy Caifanes.
No.
Okay?
No.
You can be anything you want.
Yes.
Actually, you can't. Sorry. But, I mean, their music just transcends Mexicanism.
Ay, güey, cuánta elegancia la de Francia. One more time, Banda Sinaloense, MS, Sergio Lizárraga, Banda Más, and Caifanes together, el viernes 14 de septiembre, live at MGM Grand. Get your tickets through axs.com.
Bye. And we're back. All right, it's time for recommendations. This is a part of the show where we give shout outs to whatever we want. All right, who wants to go first?
I give shout out to B-Side Label in Japan, the company that inspired us with that weird sticker.
Yeah.
That sticker is going to become legendary.
We should ask, can we just buy this image?
Yeah, okay, yeah. Good luck.
I want it.
Yeah,
yes.
We'll buy some, we'll send it to you guys.
Yeah, okay. It'll be awesome.
So do they have an Instagram? Do they have...
They do.
B-side label 5892.
Down. Okay.
Awesome. Alondra?
I want to give a shout out to my fellow Lambda Theta Nu Sorority Incorporated sister and small business owner, okay. Aaliyah Crafts. So she is also a vendor at Molcajete Dominguero. And her Instagram is Aaliyah_crafts. She makes super cute concha inspired things. She has a little concha mini badge reel for your work badge. So there's a lot of cute stuff that she hand makes in case anybody's interested in checking her stuff out.
Nice.
And just so if people don't know what Molcajete Dominguero is, if this is their first time listening, because we talk about it all the time.
Yeah.
Can you explain what that is?
So I think they said they're the biggest Latinx pop-up in the country. So I think it's the second Sunday of the month, they get together at La Plaza de las Culturas y Arte across the street from Placita Olvera in Los Angeles by downtown. And there is over 100 vendors on site. They have tons of cool Latino-inspired items for you to purchase. A lot of them are handmade, so it's a cute kind of area to go shopping when you have a Sunday with your family. There's a lot of good food, too, so definitely worth a stop in case you're looking for something to do on a Sunday.
Yeah, shout out to Luis, who started this a while ago. They're expanding to San Francisco. They're going to other cities. Ese güey donde pone el ojo, pone la bala. And I'm very proud of La Coma. Yes.
Awesome.
Te toca.
Me? So I am going to recommend a podcast that I have been obsessively listening to. It's called Marsha's Plate. And it is three trans people of color, based out of New York. And I love them so much because they just kind of talk about their past experiences. They all have very varied backgrounds. Two of them are trans women. One of them is a trans man. And I really have been obsessed with the TV show Pose lately that's just out on FX. They do recap shows of that. So I watch an episode of Pose and then I go listen to the Marsha's Plate episode of them like breaking down the episode,
nice.
Which is so awesome. So again, hashtag Marsha's Plate. Look them up. It's a beautiful podcast.
So I am excited because there's so much good music coming out. It's the summer. It seems like at the beginning of the summer and the end of the summer is when everything comes in because there's a market for the summer, but there's a market for the fall. And right now we had a singer from San Francisco, but she actually grew up in Chile. Her name is Francisca Valenzuela. She hasn't come out with music since 2014. And I remember casually hearing about her, even though she's big in Chile. And I just listened to the latest single. So it's been 3 years since she, 4 years since she came out with music. She's going in a completely different direction, a little bit more electronic. There's a little bit more of even, I don't know, there's different sounds that I haven't heard from her because in a way she's more pop commercial in Chile. But if this single is any indication of the material that is coming out from her, it's going to be off the hook. The name of the single is Tómame. And once again, that is by Francisca Valenzuela. Everybody check her out.
Yeah.
Yes.
Thank you. All right. Any final words, everyone?
No, just thank you for letting us be on here and kind of share our story. And, you know, we're just looking to see where this company takes us and hopefully keep getting posts or keep getting pictures from our customers enjoying what we're doing. So thank you.
Yeah, and thank you. We're just so happy that you reached out and we love your stickers and we're so happy that you're part of Latinos Who Lunch now, which is so cool. And our listeners are also obsessed with you guys.
Yeah.
Whenever we do your giveaways, people are freaking out. It's so awesome. Yeah, it's so awesome.
Yes, and thank you because this is a good example of when you want something, you can just go for it. You went to a store and that sparked a whole thing that can end up being your whole future.
Yeah.
So congratulations to both of you. And thank you again for representing us in all kinds of different ways, not just the same way over and over again. Y muchas gracias por estar aquí. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And as always, you could visit us at latinoswholunch.com. If you have a moment, please leave us a review. 5 stars.
5 estrellas solamente.
Because the more reviews we have, the more visible we are, the more represented we are.
invisibility leads to representation, and representation is essential.
We really need to work on that. If you have a question, you can email us at asklwlpod@gmail.com. Again, asklwlpod@gmail.com. Today's episode was produced by Justin Favela and Emmanuel Ortega. Our intern is Carla Lagunas. Marketing assistance from Hector Aguilar. Music by the band Brownout. I'm Fabi Fab.
And I'm Babelito.
Bye.
Bye. Ciao, ciao, ciao.
Bye. Bye.